Brothers and sisters, I think many times it's very easy for us to point a finger or condemn someone caught red-handed in a sinful act. While someone else is in the spotlight, the chances are slim that our own wrongdoings will be found out, at least for the moment. And joining the accusers also prevents us from our own self-examination and the possibility of repentance. Because, as you know, it's certainly much easier to point out other people's shortcomings. My friends, our gospel today is a challenging one because the evidence is beyond doubt and the law is clear. A woman is caught in the very act of adultery, and according to Mosaic law, adultery was considered among the gravest of sins, punishable by death. But the law of the Roman occupiers forbade the Jewish authorities to impose and carry out the death sentence on anyone. And Jesus' opponents want to use the occasion to embarrass him into a no-win situation. So the dilemma facing Jesus then is this. If Jesus condemns the woman, he undermines his own teachings on forgiveness and puts him in conflict with the Roman authority. If he doesn't condemn her, he breaks faith with the Mosaic law. So this particular woman who had been sexually exploited by a man is to be exploited again by the authorities as a weapon against Jesus. And when they bring the woman to Jesus, instead of standing up to his accusers and falling into their trap, Jesus bends over and writes in the ground. Now, we don't know for sure what Jesus wrote on the ground that day, but this little detail certainly adds a bit of suspense to the story. St. Jerome proposed that it was the sins of the accusers. Others suggest that Jesus was imitating Roman legal practice where the judge first writes the sentence and then reads it aloud. Still others suggest that Jesus is doodling while buying time as he ponders his response. But the key is this. It's Jesus' words that catch everyone off guard. Let the one among you who is without sin be the first to cast a stone at her. Now he had them all over a barrel. The Pharisees and scribes suddenly realize that they themselves are on trial. And one by one, as the gospel says, they slink away in shame. They give up their challenge of Jesus. In effect, the case against the woman is dismissed. Jesus then addresses the woman as a person, as someone worthy of his attention. Jesus forgives her and challenges her in so many words not to disgrace herself by committing this sin again. In other words, Jesus was saying that she should see herself as God sees her, a person with dignity who ought to act differently. They had shamed the woman, using her to trap Jesus. And instead, without minimizing her sinfulness, Jesus showed her the respect she deserved as a human person, treating her with compassion. Jesus didn't disregard the law, for he urged her to sin no more. Clearly, Jesus valued repentance and conversion more than just reprisal. Jesus saw the person as so much more than the sin. Instead of condemning her for what she was, Jesus encouraged her to become something more. and to center her life around what should be. But of course, the Pharisees and the scribes, like us, often missed the point. Jesus treated this woman caught in adultery like Jesus treated everyone else. There was no distinction. The tax collector, the small child, the sick person, the rich, the poor, were all on the same receiving end of Jesus' love and compassion and understanding. There was no one who fell outside his circle. And this woman standing in front of him that day was as deserving of love and compassion and the chance for growth and healing as anyone else who might come along. Brothers and sisters, today Jesus challenges us to see things anew, to open our minds and our hearts to the new way of thinking that he had brought to light, as he had in so many other ways during his public ministry. The encounter in the gospel is yet another example of the ways that Jesus bucked the system, the closed-mindedness of the scribes and the Pharisees who so often condemned him for doing things differently. Jesus challenged the people of his day to confront the reality of the situation that none of them was in a position to condemn this woman if they were really truthful with themselves. The story is an example of what Isaiah describes in the first reading: I am doing something new. By doing something new, God gives us a way out of the deserts of our lives. We are forgiven, and we are saved from our own sinfulness. My friends, on this fifth Sunday of Lent, as we stand on the threshold of Holy Week, the Scriptures remind us that we can't stand self-righteously and condemn the lives of others when God is calling them tenderly to conversion. In our second reading today, St. Paul himself, a forgiven sinner, has been completely transformed by his faith in Christ Jesus. Paul's life is an example of the gospel call to sin no more. And to anyone living with a painful past, to anyone who struggles with remorse and regret, to those who feel that they've done something unforgivable, take heart, because we can begin again. On this Sunday morning in March, we are given a new hope. We can take another road. We can make another choice. Brothers and sisters, Paul left his former life behind as he launched out into something new that God had in store for him. And he did it with no regret. Paul regards himself as having been taken possession of by Christ Jesus, as constantly striving to be ever more conformed to the pattern set by Christ in the Paschal mystery, and as hoping to enjoy the fullness of eternal life with Christ. My friends, may St. Paul's thoughts be ours today as we observe these final weeks of Lent. Amen.
Amen.